Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Rhino Nation, broadcast to you live from the Phoenix Business Radio X studio in Tempe, Arizona, powered by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. Rhino Nation is a growing community of influential entrepreneurs and small business owners that share a common trait. They don't walk, they don't run, they charge to their destiny. We acknowledge and celebrate their business expertise, leadership, and fearless attitude to be victorious in their goals. Rhino Nation is committed to making powerful connections and providing enhanced exposure to broaden the reach and promote the extraordinary talents of our community members. I'm Michelle Faust, and I'd like to welcome my guest today, Christy Henry, CEO of Yeehaw Adventures, and Dr. Melanie Diaz, owner of Pinnacle Health Corporation. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So I'm really excited to have you both here. I think we're going to have an extraordinary conversation that people are really going to get a lot out of. So, hold tight. I'm going to give both of you an opportunity first, before we really delve into some deeper conversation, just a chance to introduce yourself and tell the audience a little bit about what you do, and then we'll kind of move forward from there, okay? So let's start with you, Melanie, if you would go ahead and give us a little insight as to who you are.
Sure. I'm Dr. Melanie Diaz of Pinnacle Health Corporation. So I have evolved my practice beyond the treatment room and started a blog, Naked Truth by Dr. Melanie. So I like to share information and I have a passion for travel. So this is what really inspired me to go in this direction. And that's about it. I mean, I blog, I'm going to start doing YouTube videos, and I do some online coaching and telemedicine. So it's a very integrated practice.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Christy?
I'm Christy Henry with Yeehaw Adventures, and I too have a passion for travel like Dr. Melanie. And that inspired my husband and me to leave our corporate careers. I was actually an entrepreneur, a software developer for many years, and wanted to do something new and exciting for the next part of my life. And so we left those careers and decided to pursue our passion in travel. We've been across 6 continents, and we get to go to our 7th continent in February. I'm super excited about that. But most importantly, we love to share our passion with other people and help them realize the benefits of travel, not only to their marriages, their family, but to their health as well. So I'm excited to share the health benefits with you, Dr. Melanie.
Absolutely.
So this is great. So we've got a number of topics where obviously we'll be talking about travel today. We're going to be talking about good, healthy living and what we can do to improve that health. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship, which is always my favorite topic, it all fits in. So we've got a lot to cover, and hopefully we get in everything that that's rolling around in my head right now that I really want to get out there. So I'm going to start off with Christy and your name, Yeehaw Adventures. I love it. And I know you're a little bit in transition right now with moving forward with some of your with your website and whatnot. But this is what I did this morning. Is I went ahead and I looked up Yeehaw in the dictionary, and it is an interjection expressing joy or exuberance. Ooh. And that is so much of what I see from you, Christy, every time we have met. And I know that we talked a little bit about this, that association of the, cowboy and dude ranch, which is not really what you do on your travels. But don't you think that the cowboys, the old West pioneers, it really was all about adventure and exploring and having fun, and finding their new destiny? Does that kind of fit in with where, what you feel your branding is?
Exactly. It's definitely living outside the box. And the box can be our home or our current lifestyle. But every time I think of Yeehaw, I think of sitting on the back end of a river raft going through the Colorado River. And that's definitely Yeehaw to me. Or screaming through a jungle on a zip line. That's also Yeehaw. So it seems like I'm frequently screaming Yeehaw, and that's how I decided to incorporate that into all of our adventures and the travel creations we provide.
Well, certainly a name that people are going to remember. Mm-hmm. Not easy to forget that, right? Right. And so, Dr. Melanie, I'm going to let you take this where you want to take it, just for the
sure.
moment, because
yeah.
I know you kind of have an integrated approach to what you do.
Yes.
It all, yes. everything fits into yeah. the thing else, but you have your chiropractic business,
mm-hmm.
And your travel blog, mm-hmm. and you also
and
really,
my health blog
and your health blog,
which is all in one blog right now.
Right, right. And so, and then my understanding is that your take on travel, although, you know, the passion is similar between you and Christy, I think you
yes.
have just a
very
a little,
similar, very similar.
Yeah. yeah. Okay.
It's purposeful. It's
purposeful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always looking for an adventure, but experience, you know, something that is going to bring value to my experience, to my life, something where I can have a story to share. I love experiencing different cultures. So I don't take frequent trips. It's really hard when you've been in a brick and mortar type of practice. You're confined to a physical location for most of your income. So I'm trying to transition out of that and go virtual. And so while doing that, I'm able to integrate the travel. But when I go far and wide. I just don't go often. But when I go for quite a while. I'm not saying months, but maybe 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. So, for example, in mid-March, I just came back from Bali. And that was my second trip there. Now, I could have gone a lot of other places, but I decided to return to Bali because it was such an interesting and, eye-awakening experience 3 years before. So what I like to talk about and what I'm writing about is how your health affects your ability to travel and how travel can affect your health, both ways, positively and possibly negatively. Now, if travel can affect you negatively, it's the precautions and it's how you arm yourself and how you prepare yourself for travel. So there's so many travel blogs and vlogs out there. I've done so much research and I've gotten such wonderful connections online through social media. So we're co-working together, you know, virtually to get more information and share and provide more to our readers. Does that make sense?
It makes a
right.
lot of sense.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The thing that just came to mind to me when you were saying that mm-hmm. is I think everyone, for the most part, would say, oh, I want a vacation. I love to vacation. But the reality is mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who it's stressful to take a vacation.
Oh, it is.
It's stressful to come back and deal with what they have to do.
I'm going to tell you, it is. Because traveling, preparing, shopping for that airline, looking at travel advisories, you know, making sure you have the right documents and immigration and all of that permits. It takes a while. I mean, I'm going to start looking for a personal assistant to help me with this because it robs me of the time I need to work on my patient cases sometimes. So I'm really stretched thin, but I'm not going to give up. That intention is out there to make that happen. Does that make sense? And when you travel, you know, you bring more to the table, not just to your business, but to your life, to your relationships, mm-hmm. like Christy said, it's very important.
So to speak to that, the healthy and less stressful side
right.
of things
right.
and value.
Yes.
If you're approaching somebody, say like Christy, who is going to try to put this vacation together, I'd like you to speak a little bit to the value of that because yes. Dr. Melanie just brought it up. There is a lot to be considered when you're making that trip. Even mm-hmm. if it's domestic, there are still many things that you have to consider.
Exactly. That's, I think, one of the biggest myths about travel agents or travel planners is that you don't need them anymore. We have the internet. But there's a tremendous amount of research that goes into planning a trip to Bali or to Europe and picking the right places, picking the right things to do, definitely picking the right parts of town to stay in, and all of the different excursions that go with that. And having somebody who's been there before to share those experiences and what was great, what was not so great, mm-hmm. can truly add value to your experience. For example, I've never been to Bali. I can't wait to go to Bali. And so I would absolutely check in with Dr. Melanie mm-hmm. and say, what did you do that you absolutely love that you would recommend to any one person that they can't go to Bali without doing? And that's where a travel planner can really be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we can book our trips to Belize, but I've been there. I've got some special places that we can go.
See, that's great because, you know, I can, I like to just, sometimes I can be impulsive. And I think that's really a good way to be when you really need that experience. You just follow your heart and your intuition or your gut. And you just say, okay, I feel Asia, you know, or I thought, and there are so many good deals online. If you just shop and do Skyscanner, I use Hopper sometimes. So I see the trend of how the flight prices are moving, you know, for example, summertime in Europe, I'm hoping. You know, and then the end of this year, going back to Indonesia, maybe Thailand, but who knows, you know, there's so many opportunities out there. So what I did is before I left on this Bali trip, I segmented my Instagram account and I created Restorative Luxury Travels. And that's a separate Instagram account because it was just getting too combined, you know, and it was like, okay, she's a chiropractor and she's got health images and now she's like on a beach somewhere and you know, and I like to see the, I like to show the personal side of me as a doctor, but for the travel blog, which is where I'm going with this, I want to keep a separated exclusive account for both Facebook and Instagram for just the travel experiences. And that's where it's more consistent with, you know, I just posted a blog post on a Balinese chakra massage I had with an ancient holy man in a village way out in the rice fields of Bali. It's like the little known secret, you know, so and it was just a great experience. So I blog on, I research when I travel. That's where my tax write-off comes in. So I go and find, I talk to the locals and I look for, you know, not just the famous healers. I've met some of them. For example, if you've seen the movie or read the book, Eat, Pray, Love, Wayan.
And both.
Wayan. I actually met her almost impromptu on my way back to the airport leaving Bali because I had a planned trip to the waterfall. You know, it was like a late night departure. So I hired a tour guide and it started raining. I'm like, well, we can't go to the rice fields or the waterfall. You know, I was all dressed up for that and packed. So I said, wait a minute. I didn't get a chance to visit Wayan and she was not far from the last hotel I checked out of. And rainy, rainy, stormy day. No one was in her office and she was so happy to see me. I ended up videotaping. So this will be on my blog. I'll do a whole video and a story on her, you know. And she's just a wonderful, grounded, sweet woman. Great healer. Yeah.
So I got 2 points. I have about 100 points.
But okay.
We'll combine it to two right at the moment and then we'll keep moving forward. Uh-huh. So one thing is I'm going to assume that you welcome feedback and interaction, people to reach out to you if they have specific
questions.
I want that.
I've had people reach out to me on Instagram saying, mostly people are going to Bali for their honeymoon or some life-changing adventure, you know, transitional adventure. How'd you do it? Where'd you go? Most of those questions are, where did you find this healer? I wrote an article on an old healer from 3 years ago, an experience, and I still to this day get emails saying, how do I find Kokorja Rai? And, you know, and I'm like, you know what? I'll tell you, but there's so many great healers out there. Follow my account. And I'm posting on each. Now, it's not just the healers. You know, I connect with the locals. Mm-hmm. I want to know, how do they cook? What makes them, you know, what are they doing in their day-to-day life? You know, that limits their rate or reduces their rate of obesity compared to what we see in this country or North America, you know, and I observe. That's why I like solo traveling a lot because I get more out of the trip. I go where I want to go. I can be spontaneous. I booked the first hotel and then I booked the last hotel, but everything in between, I just flew by the seat of my pants because you meet people and then they refer you to this part of the island and then this healer or this group and this yoga retreat. And so it became much more than I expected, the experience.
So you just opened up a segue for the second point that I want to make too. And that is balancing the plan the research and the spontaneity. And I'm going to go ahead and as a travel planner and consultant, Christy, you know, what are your points on that? Because I love spontaneity, but on the same hand, I get a little nervous when I don't have the plan and, you know, or if I don't feel like I've done quite the research. So, you know, how do you answer to that balance those two elements?
I would say the first thing is it depends on your personality style mm-hmm. and your tolerance for a little bit of risk. And the first time that I would do something like that, I would be a little bit more planned in that approach. I love the first night, last night.
That's why I did that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And I haven't actually done that, and I would love to. My husband is a huge planner, so he plans all of that piece of it, and I would love to just parachute into some destination.
And that's why I did it in a country I have already visited, because I had connections and local people mm-hmm. I knew. So if I got into trouble, I could just, you know, message a few people and say, okay, I don't know where I am, you know. So it could be scary.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? That helps a lot.
And I'm a planner too. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. This was a big, big, you know, change for me. Yeah. So,
but I think
you're right about that.
There are people that do it very effectively. Yes. I would start in a place that it's easy to do. And then as we grow outside of our travel box is really how I see it. We're jumping out of our box into another environment. And as we grow through that, we can be less and less planned about
mm-hmm.
it.
Right.
There are places I would go to. I want a tour guide right next to me.
Sure.
Egypt, for example, might be a place that I would go to still, mm-hmm. but I would want to have somebody with me right mm-hmm. next to me. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I've been to Mexico many, many times, and I love going to Mexico, and it's a place that would be easy for me to drop in and get around and not have a plan.
Oh, good.
Okay. Well, I just want to warn you, if I get distracted at any point in time, it's because I'm mentally packing my bag.
I knew you were going to say that, because we're talking about exotic places, and I'm actually going to where's my travel bucket list in my head?
So this is a conversation. Well, we're having this an entire conversation, but this is a subject matter I really want to put a little bit between both you, Dr. Melanie and Christy, because you brought it up, Melanie, in that you like to travel alone.
Love it. Yes.
Yeah. And Christy and I were talking a while back about, you know, how she can offer assistance in pairing people up and whatnot for, you know, particularly women who want to travel, but they don't have a travel companion mm-hmm. or they don't have a friend that wants to go where they want to go.
Right.
And I think that there are people who miss out a lot mm-hmm. by being too fearful to travel alone. So,
that's true.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know more on both uh-huh. sides, your experience and what you see of people out there and what their needs are. So I'm going to kind of like put the spotlight on both of you for a minute here.
And then, especially for somebody who has a fear of traveling alone, I would first start with a semi-guided tour and experience that first. And then, and you can, even when you're dropped in a city or dropped in a particular country, you can venture out on your own here and there and just test the waters. The more comfortable we get mm-hmm. with those experiences, the easier it is to do it again and mm-hmm. do it the next time. So for example, my mom wants to go to China, and she doesn't have anybody to go with, although she has now coerced me in going to China with her. So I said yes. But the thing is there are ways for her to actually do that. So I did do that research, found a really terrific company that would take her on a private tour for actually a very reasonable price. But there are so many ways and so many people out there that will connect with you to help you do that. I'm a great connector for that. So it was easy for me to say yes to that particular trip. So oftentimes, if somebody needs a travel buddy, they just call me. My husband is okay with me going on some level. He wants to go to China, though. So,
So you're asking about solo traveling?
Yes.
How I did it? Well, gosh, it's not that easy. I mean, you know, especially your first time, like you said. Mm-hmm. So my first solo trip was semi-solo trip because I went from here, I went to Australia and I went there for Christmas to visit my family. I have family in Australia and a very big family, and a lot of them I never met before because when we were young in Canada, my aunt left at a young age, got married, built her family, started in Houston and then moved, and that we just never crossed continents again. So that was nice. And then from there, they put me on the plane to go to Bali, and that was my solo trip. So that was like a 9-day thing. And that was, I had to pre-plan. That was not a spontaneous thing. I had a travel agent here in Phoenix in the West Valley that orchestrated. And, you know, it was fine. It was more expensive than I wanted it to be because I didn't know any better. And I just wanted to see. I figured I was in Australia and someone suggested, well, why don't you go to Bali or Indonesia? It's a short, I didn't know, mm-hmm. you know, five hour flight. And then I rooted home. Now I have family all over the world, pretty much. My family's spread out. And that's one thing that inspired me to get up and go. So I was born in Germany, raised in Toronto, moved to Los Angeles to get my chiropractic degree, moved around this country a little bit. So I've been here 15 years, but my core family's in Toronto. I have family in India because that's my roots, but I haven't been there yet. So that, you know, that's on the list. And I do have some extended family in Germany and England and Australia and Philippines. So, you know, I've got them all on the bucket list. So it's just nice to know that when you, if you're going to solo travel, your first solo trip, you can make so many wonderful connections. Mm-hmm. You get to a point where you just let the guard down and just be in the moment. So when I arrived in Bali this time, I did my first 3 nights in Sanur Beach. And my first full day, a friend of mine here in Phoenix, her sister is an expat in Bali. So Mary, still there, told me, hey, you're coming back. Wonderful. Stay in Sanur first. It's a chill beach. And so you get these little tips and guides. And the first day I just went to a walk down the beach and hung out at a digital nomad cafe. So I wanted to see what is that life all about. I keep meeting them online and seeing, you know, reading their blogs. And it's really interesting. I met the most interesting people, people much younger than me, people about my age and people older than me. And you hear their stories. You know, everywhere you go, you meet expats. So it's nice to go to places where it's like you bring all the continents together in one place, whether they're just transitioning through as a tourist or they are on a work visa or they've moved or retired, they're expats and they go back and forth. It's just all a cultural experience.
Well, that's one of the things.
But it is scary. It can be.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is do your research before. I did hours of late night on vlogs and YouTube. I mean, I'd be getting ready for work watching YouTube videos while I'm brushing my teeth and doing my makeup. And I, you know, you just make connections, just save those videos, put comments down and you connect. You'd be surprised. Even the YouTubers will connect with you. And if they are in your destination when you get there, you might end up meeting up. I mean, I met environmental artists and activists from the UK. You know, great guy who started a company called Nifty Bins. It's a total recycling, zero waste recycling company. And he's hoping to bring that to America. So we're connecting on a business level too. But it's wonderful. You meet a lot of Aussies, you know, in Indonesia. And they're just funny. They're a funny bunch. They're just wonderful.
That's a great point that you make in social media and the global world. And what I love about traveling is meeting people and staying connected with them.
Yes. And I've got
people that I follow. They follow me. I follow them.
Right.
And we keep up with each other.
Right.
But I hadn't really thought about going to the social media world to try to reach out ahead of time. So that's an interesting thought.
Yes.
You know, for me, as I'm taking off on my travels this summer, is to reach out ahead of time, see who.
Right. But then just staying in touch after.
Yes.
And that's leading to maybe my next transitional trip through Bali, hopefully at the end of this year, as a reunion, because a lot of them are going back at the same time of year. I was there February through March. So I said, look, I need to go somewhere for Christmas. I like a warm Christmas, a beach, you know. And it's my birthday time. So like, this is a nice, you know, getaway, an annual retreat for me. So, but sometimes if you're on a solo vacation, especially if you're looking to, if there are any travel bloggers or bloggers out there that want to do it, I'm not an experienced, I'm not seasoned. I'm not saying I'm a travel advisor. I'm an integrated doctor with a passion for travel. So my goal is to take my expertise in functional medicine. That's a big core of my practice, and well, which is nutrition and lifestyle management and alignment, physical alignment, and offer that advice to people so they can improve their health and be inspired. When you improve your health, you think clearly. You start to move towards your purpose. You know, you have that extra kick in your step. You know, the clouds lift and the fog clears. And I see this in practice. I see people that, you know, when they have their life in line with their goals and their purpose, it's not just the chiropractic adjustment that will get them their health. Everything falls into place. So I help coach that, those segments too, because that's the integrated approach. I'm not one of those, you know, and I believe whole, I'm a chiropractor first, no matter what. That's why I still have, I work out of two offices. I still want to touch people's spines and adjust them because I'm a very hands-on active person. This is the thing about travel vlogging or blogging and writing. I love writing too. It's my passion. It's very hard for me to sit down and stay sitting. So that's really, you know, that's why I became a chiropractor. I did not want to be behind a desk.
Right. No, I get that totally. And you get that.
So you go to co-working spaces. I mean, and for example, in Bali, there's so many digital cafes where, and I travel very light. I didn't even take my laptop. That's why I switched to a bigger phone, a Samsung. Mm-hmm. And I took a remote Bluetooth keyboard and I set up my Samsung, my little keyboard. And people are like, how do you do that? You know, so there's just crafty ways to travel. Because when you're solo traveling, you want to travel light. Mm-hmm. There's things I realized that, oh my goodness, you know, I have to schlep my luggage up and downstairs and in and out, you know, and I went through, I'm going to say 8 hotel/villa stays in 7 cities in 2.5 weeks. I moved around every 2 to 3 days. So this was, it felt like, yes, a vacation, but it was work. Mm-hmm. It was work, but it was a good experience. I would do things differently. And that's one thing, you know, we talked about like connecting with people on social media, sharing. So when I'm going to be blogging, articles are in the pipeline. They're going to come out and it'll be like do's and don'ts, things I learned, things I could have done better, you know, how to prepare your health and your gut, you know, so you can reduce the risk of an infection. Who wants to lose vacation time when you're in your destination by being locked in a bathroom?
Mm-hmm. Which I think is why a big source of stress for people.
They're worried about that. That's one thing that stops. I mean, some of my patients, I would never go to Mexico or I would never, you know, oh, how do you do Indonesia? I go, you just do it. Yeah. You know, there's safeguards and that's what I do for a living. I teach people.
So I know you have a lot to offer and to share in regards to integrative medicine. And, and I want to touch on that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to shift a little bit over to why it's important for employers to understand that as well. When you talk about the fog lift, people have their purpose, they're re-energized. And that because I know you used to work with corporations sometimes trying to include that as part of benefit packages and things like that. So I'd like to give you an opportunity to really talk to the value of vacations and that kind of time to check out for their employees and how it benefits them in the long run.
There are a few companies that do it really well, that see the value of vacations for their employees. And the research is incredible that when you go on vacation, come back with an increased creativity, you're more productive, you have so many more ideas. And from a stress reduction perspective, it just can't be beat. You know, going and laying on a beach and just enjoying the waves and the smell of the ocean is a tremendous stress reliever. There are other ways that I relieve stress. I'm not even a proponent of beach vacations. I love adventure, but
right.
that's how I reduce my stress.
Ziplining.
Exactly. But I think now employers are starting to realize the importance and the benefits of that. And one of the things that they need to do more effectively is to help their employees balance their workload while they're gone, so they don't come back to piles and piles of work. But one of the other things that's super important about vacations is when you are able to create those family bonds and that connection with your family, you come back feeling less stressed about your family life. And we know as employers that when our employees are balanced in their family life, when there's not stress, when there's not relationship challenges going on, that you're more focused on your work and your work in when you're at work instead of thinking about all of the negative things that are going on in your home life. So there's an area where employers can really tap into and help promote people, their employees going out and taking tremendous vacations to just connect with their families, to create those family bonds. I think I really love working with families who have high school kids, because in high school, our kids naturally want to separate from us. And so we have, as parents, less of an opportunity to connect with them and create those memories and those really positive memories of their high school years. I really enjoy getting those families out on some adventure vacations where those kids really relate to Yeehaw and Yeehaw with their parents. And one of the things that my kids have said to us, it was not always easy to get them on vacation. Sometimes they'd rather stay here and hang out with their friends. But they do remember those vacations and the times that we had and the experiences. We have conversations about those years. They hone right back to some of those exhilarating experiences instead of maybe some of the not so fun things about high school with your parents.
Well, and the other thing that comes to mind too, and I've seen this so often where, you know, the family goes on vacation, but the parents have their agenda and the kids have their agenda, and they're rarely the same. And so I have this vivid memory, and this happened to be in Southern California, watching this family where you knew that the adults were there to enjoy the meal. It was a very expensive restaurant. And there were the kids on their iPhone, never had a conversation whatsoever. And I thought,
so they transfer what they do at home to
right,
a destination.
Exactly. mm-hmm. But when you were talking then just now about having a Yeehaw adventure, I'm thinking of the kid being on horses or kayaking or
active. Mm-hmm. Active.
Very active. Doing
exercise,
things where
active.
They can't even bring their iPhone, you know, to
right.
that activity.
Right.
And so that's a powerful thing to introduce into family life, because mm-hmm. I think too often we fall into that, oh, let's go to the beach and drive over to California. And then, you know, mm-hmm. you're just mm-hmm. not making the connection. Well, not that California's bad. I love California.
Yeah.
But the point being, if you put a little bit more effort, a little bit more time, research into mm-hmm. having the kind of vacation that really integrates everybody's likes and wants, needs, and desires, you're going to come away with something much more valuable for the money that you've put into your vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
exactly.
Again, I'm sorry. I'm packing again.
Well, it's about the experience.
My mind just went off and what am I going to do with my kids? So the family connection is fantastic. Now, you also are an advocate of relationships and how vacations really play into strengthening the relationship.
Exactly. My husband and I have been together for 33 years. We just had our 28th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And wedding or being married is not always blissful. But during those times when you have challenges in your marriage, there were a number of things that we did to really enhance and elevate or ignite our marriage. Certainly, we would go dancing or create experiences right here in town, but we always had a trip planned. And having a trip planned or something on the near horizon always kept us connected. And I will say that travel was really essential in weaving the tapestry of our marriage. And it created such a rich, bold picture, vibrancy of our marriage, as well as creating those strong, secure yarns through our tapestry. I'm not sure if we didn't have travel, if we'd still be together. I do know when I first met Alan, I think I fell in love with the fact that he had been out of the country. And I think that came first. And then I fell in love with his personality, but I knew I was going to experience a tremendous adventure with him. And we have. So we've really created that and woven travel into our married life, but also our family life. I can remember when we were first talking about having kids and we decided we would have to have to-go babies. They would have to go wherever we wanted.
Love that term.
Takeaway babies, they call it in Australia. Takeaway.
Exactly.
Takeaway babies.
Exactly. Well, and what an education, you know, for children to be able to, you know, experience different kinds of vacation.
Yeah. It is.
But there's also that connection with self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. You know, and I could speak to that. So when you are doing, even if you're with people, family, for example, and then you have that alone time where maybe the husband wants to go on a hunting trip or, I don't know, some other retreat and the wife wants to do a yoga retreat for a full day, just a yoga workshop or a meditation workshop or a hike in the woods, anything. So being a solo, when you travel solo, you learn so much about yourself. I mean, I learned a lot. You know, you learn your level of tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
You learn your level of patience. You learn what you have an affinity to. You learn what the exposure to different foods and flavors and customs. You know, it's just your communication style. You know, do you want to cocoon yourself in the evening, have that peaceful night, listen to the birds on your villa, you know, veranda every night? Or do you tend to go out to a dance workshop or some kind of a big festival, you know? So it's interesting. Like you do, you have so much time to think to yourself. The overseas flights are ideal for me. I do a lot of, you know, reading. Well, of course, this time I was on Singapore Air, so they had great movies. So I didn't sleep at all. I just watched movies like all the way through. It's a 27-hour journey from LA, from Phoenix to LA, and then route through South Korea. And oh, yeah. But you know what? It didn't matter because people say, oh my gosh, why do you go so far? It eats up a big portion of your time off, you know, when you take time off from work. And I go, but I make the use of that transit time. I meet people in airports. I observe human behavior. I get information from my blog. Well, even when I'm in transit and I haven't reached that destination, you'd be surprised. A lot of people will say the best place to people watch is an airport terminal.
I agree.
Especially a busy one, right? Like Chicago O'Hare or international terminal. So, you know, and I write and I sketch and I know, okay, this is my plan. So the trip back, you're either very tired. So I'm like audio recording if I can, but usually an overnight flight, everyone's sleeping. So I can't read. I'm afraid to turn on the light. So I just go into meditation. I just kind of mentally, you know, sketch out sometimes on a pad of paper what I learned. So when I'm there or wherever I go, I negotiate hotel discounts in exchange for reviewing their hotel or their spa treatments. So as an integrated doctor, and I have a certification in Ayurvedic medicine. So there's a draw. You know, there's a lot of Ayurveda in Indonesia. It originated in India. So they invite me to come out and say, can you review? We'll give you a full day or a half day spa, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to not have to pay for it, but you are paying for it in your time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I want to, you know, you want to do a good job. You want to take great pictures. I interview either the spa resort manager and the therapist and, you know, have to trust someone else to take good pictures because as a solo traveler, I don't have a partner/assistant to handle my camera. So I carry two phones, iPhone and a Samsung. So one is the travel phone. So it's, you know, unlocked. So there's so many, there's so many tips and tricks to travel efficiently and safely and keep your health, keep yourself from getting sick, and enjoy it. Make the most of it. Have an enjoyable experience.
Let's talk about that a little bit of maintaining your health and some of the tips and tricks and eating healthy, living, a healthy lifestyle, whatever research you might need to do. What can you drink the water, not drink, what do you need to watch out for?
There's a lot of, nowadays there's so many tools and gadgets you can buy, whether they're informational gadgets or, camping type, if you're caught somewhere, you don't have a water supply. My assistant at my Glendale office told me about the Life Straw. So I went, I didn't have it last time I was in Bali, but I ordered it quickly on Amazon. I never used it, but it's good to have. You never know, right? The state of your health when you are planning and you're leaving your origin home, your home to get on a plane is going to be a big factor on how you adapt to your travel and how you maintain your health. So being the integrative doctor I am and teaching my patients and my readers, it's not like you're just gearing up for that high school prom and trying to drop 20 pounds to fit in a dress, to look good or in a bikini or whatever. If you have consistent good health along the way, you're in better shape. But there are a lot of things you could do to prep yourself and your body and your mind to ensure that you don't have, let's say reduce the risk of having mishaps or, your mind, your brain health is huge. Because think about it. If you are constantly losing things, how many people walk into a room and forget why they walked into that room?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or misplace their keys, right? So if you do that at home, imagine doing that in a foreign country. My hotel key. Well, hotel key is not the biggest deal, depending on where you stay. But you know what I mean? Like your cell phone, you don't want to lose things. And like I said before, I'm historically a big planner, kind of like your husband. Everything has to be in order and pre-planned. So this was a big test for me. I'm like this, I need to grow. I need to get out of my box. I need to take risks. And that's why I purposely didn't book. I didn't pre-plan. In places like Bali or Indonesia, Thailand, it's always recommended. It's so easy to book hotels along the way. You've got all these apps. You've got the Indonesian app, agoda.com. So I just used whatever I used. I had all the apps eventually downloaded to my travel phone, but that's a long story because I had to get that replaced the day before my trip. So I was panicking, I'm trying to download apps in foreign Wi-Fi, but so you have these tools and trips. So your brain health is important. So there's foods and supplements, you should take on a regular basis. Dietary habits, obviously we know refined carbs, refined foods, sugars, alcohol, they're depleting the nutrients. They're depleting your health. They are, messing with the neurotransmitters in the brain. I did a series on my blog. It's drmelaniedee.com or Naked Truth by Dr. Melanie on the brain-gut connection. So that's a very important one when my patients say, I'm finding that they're having issues and they're just not quite getting that connection. I will refer them to my website and say, I'm going to send you the link. Because if I just give them my card and say, go to my website, they go home and they forget. So I email the link or I have a messaging system through phones for them. So that, the gut is important, the brain is important, and just planning and keeping yourself calm and rational. Planning, but try not to overplan. If you overplan, you overexpect of yourself. So there's just that fine line that you need to have. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense.
Yeah, because you overplan, you can easily disappoint yourself like Christy, you were saying, it depends on your personality type.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a type A control freak and you're overplanning and one thing goes wrong, the whole cascade of the rest of the trip can ruin a mood.
Mm-hmm.
And there goes the value. You want to optimize that trip. You've invested money, you've invested time, you've saved, you only have most people working in corporate only have so many days of vacation to take, at least in America. And we want to use that wisely.
Well, excellent point.
Right.
And to that point, I wanted to ask Christy that how do you separate yourself from a travel agent, or you are a travel consultant, travel expert.
Right.
And we've had this conversation before, so I have a pretty good idea, but I'd like you to put it in your words of exactly where you come through for your clients and how you enhance that experience and the value as well.
What's interesting is, as a software consultant, I loved working with CEOs and creating amazing new processes throughout their companies, but I didn't enjoy actually execution and coding quite as much. Mm-hmm. And when I got into the travel business, what I realized is I love planning and designing travel, and I get incredibly excited about it. I want to find out what your next destination is and what your expectations are. But I'm not as excited about actually booking it. So what I did was, I think, perfect for me, was I found two or three travel agents that have expertise in various types of travel that I use to do the actual booking. So I sit down with my clients and I'll ask the right questions. And lots of times people don't know where they want to go. They don't really have any ideas. Other times they do. They know exactly where they want to go. So it depends on the client as to what that process looks like. But I ask a lot of questions, then do a tremendous amount of research, help them figure out exactly what they want to do, exactly where they want to go. And then I hand it all in a very nice portfolio over to the travel agent who does all of the booking, handles the passports, makes sure that they get all of the visas and all of the documents that are required. That's nice. The very meticulous, detailed orientation that I am good at, but I don't enjoy as much of. So I love to hand that over to my trusted travel agents, and it works really well.
I like that. You're the designer and the visionary,
uh-huh,
right?
Exactly.
The architect for the trip. That's good.
Exactly. Well, and
you
that keeps
to do
your
the
passion.
Logistics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're excited about what you do, mm-hmm, and leave the menial. I don't mean to say menial, but
no,
but the details of it. And they are trusted partners of yours.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly,
you can hand your clients over to them and know that they will take care of the details
yes,
as they need to.
We work very well together.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Miller, I'm going to ask about a little bit more about how you integrate Eastern medicines into what you do as a chiropractor. My understanding is you have incorporated some of what you've learned, mm-hmm, in your travels.
Yeah. So mostly within the chiropractic practice, it's in the functional medicine part. So a lot of my patients are functional medicine clients. So, you know, a lot of them come from being a chiropractic patient. So working on the physical aspect of aligning their spine and their joints. And I love that part. I really do. I'm very hands-on. I love, one of my passions is sports injuries, because being a former dancer and into athletics, you know, years ago, that's just my upbringing, and I can relate to that. So I started to realize that, okay, I'm adjusting them. They like it. It feels good. They feel better going out the door. I give them recommendations, but they don't hold. You know, they're still back to their habits, and there's just this missing link. I find that, okay, well, I can't follow them around 24/7. Some of them joke about it. Can I take you on vacation? Sure. Can you pay for my time too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just the vacation. I'll be your private, you know, chiropractor. So I thought, okay, I need to work on the lifestyle part. So I've always had the interest in medicine, functional medicine, nutrition. Years ago, I think I was still an intern in chiropractic school, I discovered Ayurvedic medicine. I just heard about it, learned about it. And it was a sad circumstance. My mom was diagnosed with cancer. So I went on this like fury of I need answers. I don't know enough about this. And I discovered Ayurvedic medicine. I started to learn it along the way. And, you know, not long after she ended up passing, I delved into it deeper when I was living in New York. found a mentor. And then that led me, when I moved to Phoenix, I was going to the Ayurvedic Institute for some workshops in Albuquerque and studying under one of the gurus. He's one of the main originators who brought Ayurveda to this country. And Ayurveda, if you don't know what it is, it's the science of life from ancient India. And it is based on living with accordance of your environment, based on your constitution. There's three doshas or mind-body types. And we all have three, but we're dominant in one or two, or co-dominant. And we have a genetic constitution combination that we're born with, but we have an expressive one that we are expressing now. So it's kind of like the genotype and the phenotype, if you know the genetics, right? The genes we're born with, the phenotype we're expressing. So I love it because it is my roots too. And I remember when I was talking about, I was excited. I was learning about Ayurveda. I must have been like 29 or 30 years old. And I called my grandmother in Toronto and I said, guess what? You know, I'm learning about this. And she starts laughing at me because I mentioned Ayurvedic medicine. She's laughing on the phone at me. And I go, what? She goes, what are you talking about? That's what we do in India. That's just the way we live. I go, it is? So all the stuff you taught me in the kitchen, I'm watching you do stuff. She goes, yes, you already know how to cook Ayurvedically, you know? I went, oh, but they don't label it, you know? I mean, she's my grandma.
Right,
you know?
Right,
exactly. She grew up in a village where there's just a water well and no running water in, you know, the west part of India. So, I mean, it was just fascinating to rediscover back to my roots. So I ended up getting an online certification through the Kerala Ayurveda Academy, and it was for counseling. And with my functional medicine and my Ayurveda, a lot of my patients, I do have them do the dosha questionnaire. It's not so much that I'm going to throw these herbs and concoctions at them. A lot of people in this country, it's very hard to adapt or integrate that Ayurvedic self therapy at home because it entails slow cooking, a lot of preparation. Now there's herbs and things that I could sell, you know, in bottles that help. And a lot of them are so simple. You know, a lot of the cures, all the cures are in nature. They really are. They're within our body and they're in nature. And one of the reasons that inspires me to travel to the places I tend to have an affinity for are the ones that have ancient healing techniques, spiritual healing techniques. You know, I have my eye on the Amazon, you know, in Peru. So that's on my list. You know, I want to get down to Ecuador and Peru. And, you know, I'm just so fascinated by that because I want to share that. And I know a lot of people blog and write about it, but I have my own little community of patients and friends. And, you know, I just, it's something I love to do and share. Mm-hmm. So if it can add value to the treatments and the coaching I do in the office and over the phone, telemedicine, then I'm going to continue to do it because it's a great combination. I win and they win. And, you know, just, it's about creating, my goal is to empower people to tap into their own ability to realize, self-realization that, you know, they have more power than they know to heal and to thrive. I mean, I work with quite a few patients over some long periods of time, and some of them it takes a while to get it.
Well,
you know,
it's mindset.
It is mindset. It's a paradigm. Yeah. It's a paradigm. It's a huge paradigm shift.
Yeah.
I have a patient who's in his late 60s who came to me, and most of them, it's very tough to change habits, but he's so compliant. Like he just embraced it. And a lot of people, patients who embrace it really fast and jump in with so much excitement are some of the ones that burn out quickly and jump off the boat. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
It's too much. They get overwhelmed. So I've learned along the way. I've been in practice 20 years and you learn a lot. It's a lot of psychological counseling and reading people. I try and tap into my intuitive abilities and see how their communication style, even look at their birth date to know what their astrological sign is. I know for some people it may sound a little way out there, but you'd be surprised. I can communicate better if I know, if I understand, and if I can figure out their rising sign. Because that shows their how they're adapting and how they're showing themselves to me.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's not so much their birth sign.
I love that.
Yeah.
Really
so when, you know, when I'm in an interview with the patient, I'm like, so where were you born? What city and what time? They're like, huh? Why do you need to know what time I'm born? Like, I'm just curious. But I don't need to tell them what I'm doing. So it's interesting. But yes, there's breathing techniques I've learned. There's body work techniques I learned, especially this past trip. to Bali, you know, which I'm about to train my massage therapist in Glendale on how to do her. Yeah, so it's just interesting. Very interesting.
So let's talk about bucket list. I know you've been to, first of all, Christy, start off with, I'd like to know where you've been, where your seventh one is, and what's still on your bucket list?
The bucket list keeps growing, not shrinking. Isn't that true?
The more
we learn about different places, the more we want to go there and experience that. The more I talk to people about where they've been, it's like, oh, I need to do that. Someone was telling me about their experience in an ice hotel in Norway. And I thought, oh, it sounds cold, but I want to do that. That sounds fun.
Right.
And just all over the world. So we have... My first out-of-country experience was in Australia. And I think that's an excellent place to begin out-of-country experiences because they do speak our language. Mm-hmm. And it's similar to the U.S. in a lot of ways, but you're still out of the country. We did Australia, New Zealand, and that was on a tour, which I'm not a big proponent of. There are places where I'm a proponent of tours, but not necessarily in Australia. I'd like to...
Well, you know, in Australia, they speak our language, but they do have their own language.
Oh,
their expressions are so funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
I strain to understand some of them.
Yeah. They've got some really interesting...
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So Australia and New Zealand was our first place. And then we went to Africa, Kenya. We did a Kenyan safari and that's where my husband proposed. And that was a most unusual proposal.
Did he come riding in on an elephant?
No. Why didn't he think of that? I love it. We were at the Mount Kenya Safari Resort and there was a full moon. It was almost midnight, and we could have gotten killed that night because we were out on the grassy knoll where there's all kinds of wildlife, but he had managed to scoop up a couple of bottles of wine from the airplane and some glasses. It was very romantic.
Hey, romantic.
Anyway, it was a phenomenal trip. We truly enjoyed that, and honestly, I'm not sure I can top that one, but it is, and we've come close. The Galapagos, you talked about. I love South America.
That'd be nice.
There are so many.
I did a project on the Galapagos in the university. I want to see that.
It's a tremendous place, just chock full of hundreds of thousands of birds and iguanas. And it's just tremendous. I love it. But I love South America. We've done quite a bit. We hiked to Machu Picchu, did the Inca Trail. That was super phenomenal. We did our honeymoon of all places in Bangkok, Hong Kong, and Japan. It wasn't the most romantic honeymoon, but we wanted to go there before the Hong Kong was going to be taken back by the Chinese. And thankfully, Hong Kong is still as vibrant and exciting as it was at that time. But so we did a lot of Asia during that time. And let's see, then Europe. There are just, you just can't stop going back to Europe. There are so many things to do. One European trip that people like to do that I'm not a proponent of is packing in too many countries in one trip. I think I enjoy doing at the most two countries and really getting in and diving into those countries. And you know, you have to go back anyway.
Yeah, so. I agree. I did that.
Super fun. And then our last continent is Antarctica. We're doing a 23-day cruise.
Wow.
Yes. Now, when I first heard the idea of Antarctica, I noticed that there weren't any Marriotts on Antarctica and mentioned that to my husband. And he said, no worries. There are plenty of penguins and tons of wildlife. You will have a grand time. And most people think it's very, very cold there. But when we go, it'll be between 25 and 35 degrees.
Okay, that's cold for me. But
I'm a big skier.
Relatively speaking,
That's perfect temperature for skiing. Mm-hmm. So I figure I'm just on a ski with the penguins adventure. So
good.
We're looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds great. And, you know, the top five on your bucket list.
Oh, gosh. I'm limiting you to five. Mine are all over the place. I haven't traveled near as much as Christy. And you know, hopefully I have plenty more years to do this, but South America for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I already mentioned
Amazon.
That. Amazon.
That's
yeah, I want to study
list.
I want to see the herbs and the plants. And I love nature and animals. So mm-hmm. yes, Africa, South Africa and other countries in Africa are on my list for sure. I love Europe. 2 years ago, I was in Portugal and Italy and oh gosh, I left Italy to go to Portugal. I fell in love with Italy, but then I fell in love with Portugal and I just want to go back to both. I mean, I just love the European culture. I love food. I love wine. And I was able to eat the pasta and not have a reaction because I'm gluten-free. I don't eat gluten.
I've heard that. So, I've heard that
from
other
so
people.
I actually am going to be writing about that on the blog, why that is different and the processing that we do in North America. So Europe, different parts of Europe. I'm hoping to go to Ireland at some mm-hmm. point, maybe soon. There's a festival I want to go visit. And I don't know. I mean, definitely where my family lives. India's on mm-hmm. the list. India is a tough one for me to get to get a travel visa, only because they're very strict, you would think, because I am Indian. They're very strict requirements or qualifications to... I tried a few years ago and it didn't work out because it was a little bit of a corruption on the American embassy in San Francisco, their outsourced company, and they lost my application.
Oh.
And this was around the time my father had passed, so I wasn't following up with the application. And then luckily I had my passport, but I have historically family history in Pakistan. And because of that, they flagged my application. So it's going to be a process for me to get that tourist visa. And I'm looking to hire a company to do it for me because I do not want that stress. Mm-hmm, but I do one day want to go there and meet some family I've never met. I have a ton of cousins there. So that's definitely...
That sounds fantastic.
Yes. And like, I know there's more countries. I just can't think. It's just like, put them all on my
like
list.
Like all great conversations.
Yes.
This one has gone by very, very quickly.
India,
but we have to wrap up, believe it or not.
Okay.
So it doesn't seem like an hour. I know. But here's just a couple of things. I want to give you both an opportunity to give your contact information, whatever you're willing to share. Please go ahead and share with our listeners how to get in touch with you. So Christy, go ahead.
Sure. The easiest way to get in touch with me is by phone. 602-469-4942. And then also my email address is Christy, K-R-I-S-T-I, at B-H-L, B as in Victor, H, L as in Larry, partners.com. So feel free to reach out to me that way. My website is currently in transition, so we'll post that out there later.
Well, and we will update people as well. So that's great. Thank you for that. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Melanie?
So my business phone number is 480-447-9205. And that goes directly to a transcribed voicemail. And the easiest way is the website. The Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is drmelaniedee.com. Doctor with no period. M-E-L-A-N-I-E. D for Diaz.com. And then my travel branch is Restorative Luxury Travels. That's not a website. That's just Facebook and Instagram. So they are linked together. You'll find them linked and I share posts. And that is basically, it's luxury travels, but my tagline is luxury doesn't necessarily mean a five-star resort.
That's true.
So, because I find luxuries in little experiences. So mm-hmm. basically, that's it. They can email me through the website. If they go to the website, they can shoot me an email and it'll go right to my inbox.
That's great. And
thank you.
Again, for myself, I'd love to get your feedback. Please feel free to find me on my Facebook page, Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity, as well as email me at michelle@rhinostrategies.com. Very quickly, I am going to embark soon on a Costa Rica, Panama, and Colombia vacation. So I will be keeping you all in the loop. In the next couple of shows before I go, I'll give greater details on that. But so there will be more coming. But meanwhile, thank you so much to both of you
thank
for sharing
you.
Such a fantastic conversation.
That was fun.
This was fun.
Yes. Yeah.
This has been great. So you've been listening to Rhino Nation. This B2B radio series has been powered by Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. We're here to help you free up your precious time and limited time as a business owner to do what you need best, running and growing your business. We partner with you to identify your content and marketing needs and provide you with fresh, innovative, dynamic copy that will effectively reach your target market, leading to increased customer engagement, a higher conversion rate, and increased sales. Until next time, I'm your host, Michelle Faust.